So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. How are you all doing? That's a difficult question, I think. When you go onto a japa retreat, it is really something like going on a journey. Just like you cannot jump from America to Australia, but you have to make a journey which takes you through different stations. You have to go into the airport and you have to register your passport and in the new country and so on. There are a few things which happen when you go on retreat. You can't expect to start your retreat and then in the next day or the next session you're on the most elevated platform which you ever experienced. No, before that you will have to go through a few stations, a few experiences, and only then are you entitled to come to this level. And one of these stations we will hear about in this morning session, this workshop morning session, and I believe it can be quite revealing what you will hear today. At times, even eye-opening. Yes, eye-opening. Oh, I did not know. Oh, yes, oh, this makes sense, like this. So, okay, without further ado, let us go and chant a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have to make one comment. If you play instruments, you should be doing this longer than 15 years to be able to get the beat. So you are a new man, you cannot yet play. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radhe, Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radha, Jaya Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radhe. Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Trinada Piso Nichena Tador Iva Sahishnuna Gitaniya Sadahari. Once again, all together, please. Trinada Piso Nichena Taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. One verse before this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits in Puri and laments with torrents of rain, torrents of tears in his eyes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lamentation comes from a deep sense of, the English word is something like inadequacy. That is not being capable to do something. He has noted in verse 2 that you have given all your shaktis into the holy name. It's all there. Whatever you can obtain by going on pilgrimage, by doing long austerities, by doing Vedic ceremonies, all these shaktis, which are carefully placed within these activities, is there in chanting. And thus you have made it in your mercy so easy. But alas, and then he starts to lament, I'm missing out on this opportunity. I feel absolutely no attraction to chanting. Mahaprabhu was lamenting and lamenting because of this. Now in verse 3, he turns to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. They are sitting there in the Gambira. And he says, listen, listen, Swarup and Ramananda, to the way you must chant the holy name, so that love for Krishna awakens. This is the remedy which I'm giving now. This will help you. I want to go back a little bit and ask a question. Why do we feel so ambivalent about chanting? Ambivalent is we feel this is the highest, this is the best, I have to learn it, I will go on Japa retreat. But at the same time, we know we are not up to the mark. Giriraj Maharaj and Burijam Prabhu and many others have given Japa retreats all over the world now. And do you know what we found out? That most of the people who come, in many cases older devotees, are finding it extremely difficult to complete 16 good rounds a day and therefore come to this retreat almost as their last recourse before their airplane crashes in spiritual life. We know it's the highest, yet it is so difficult for us to practice the chanting on a daily basis with deep taste. Why? The reason which we can find from Bhajan Rahasya is because our whole spiritual life shows up when we sit down and take those beads. Or as Burijam Prabhu said several years ago here in Vasana, when you sit down and start to chant your japa, your relationship to Krishna, whatever it is, will come up. If it's good, you will chant most probably easily your rounds. If it's not yet so good, there's room for improvement. Then you will have to improve things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this verse, which tells us how we can make a stop of this, how we can make a revolution and how we can start to chant, is zugeordnet. Oh, this is a difficult word even in German language. It has to be related to the platform of nishta, steadiness. As long as you are an up and down devotee, a good weather devotee, dependent on the external circumstances of your spiritual life, as long as you are, in Sanskrit term, anishta, unsteady, not fixed, one day you will chant passable rounds, but most of the day it will be a sweat-driving struggle for you. This anishta, can only be remedied by a certain approach, which I would like to teach you today. But first of all, I want to say, I read to you Mahaprabhu's free translation of how to develop love for Krishna. Even though you may be the best of human beings, you should still think of yourself as lower than the grass. You should think, the Vaishnava Acharyas explain, the grass has some seva. We can use it for go seva and feed the cow. Or we can make the roof for a cottage in which a Vaishnava lives. Huh? We can make a grass roof. But I have no use in seva. I am useless for the service of the Lord. This is why you think yourself as lower than the grass. The grass is so qualified. I'm not. You should engage in two kinds of tolerance. Now it gets intense, my dear devotees. This is the practice of humility, the practice of this verse. You can feign or you can pretend to be humble. You just need to fold your hands in the heart area, and then don't speak so excited as I do now. Speak very low,
I'm very fallen.
Or very high, I'm fallen. You know, and everyone will believe you that you are humble. It's a physical display of humility. But when there is an intolerable situation, Mr. Humbleness will explode. You can humble, you can pretend on the externals of humility, but not on tolerance. If there's a little fever, a little illness, you think of taking the next plane back to Germany where there's proper hospitalization and so on. Or if someone steps on your toe and calls you a fool, you will call him a double fool. So two kinds of tolerance need to be practiced. Following the example of a tree. You don't protest and you don't ask for things for your sense enjoyment. And you remain a servant. And then a Vaishnava must respect all living creatures, knowing them to be the abodes of Lord Krishna. And not expect respect in return. This is the practice of humility. But my dear devotees, this is only possible if you do, you know, we have said you can pretend to be humble, but when it comes to even tolerance, if you are not accomplished in your spiritual life, your humility is washed down the toilet of your pretense. Gone. To come to this level where you can always chant by being deeply rooted in these qualities, not falsely rooted, but deeply rooted in these qualities, is possible only if you aim in your spiritual practices to come to the platform of nishtha, steadiness. Practice steadiness. Steadiness in your rounds, even though you sometimes may not feel to complete your rounds, because after all it is very late, and time is also there for sleeping. You know, you must become steady in your spiritual practice. Only then you can practice humility. Otherwise, you are wavering. And this spiritual practice is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this very clear, based on the freedom from bodily identification. If you want to practice this key, the Trinadapi key, which unlocks the kingdom of God for you, you must start at a humble entry door. You must start practicing freedom from bodily identification. Prabhupada writes in a little book, Beyond Birth and Death, he says, first of all, one must understand that the self is separate from the body. Not theoretical, but practical. Humility and tolerance and giving respect is only possible if you understand I'm an eternal soul. I don't win anything if I base my undertakings on a false identification with the body and my role of a big sannyasi or a big brahmana or a big priest. I was once present at a bandara. Banda means it's a food distribution. There in a food distribution, you have to know when you invite Vrijbasis for food distribution, you have to have a little raised platform for the brahmanas. You know, even if you just put a few bricks and a board there, they must sit higher, otherwise they won't eat in comfort. I remember there was one brahmana who came late, and there was no place in on this elevated thing, and he just was exploding so much. So I was new to the ways of India, and I said, "Trinadapi Sunichena," and translated it for him, because usually our Hare Krishna Sanskrit is not recognized as Sanskrit by Sanskrit Pandits, and I never forget. I will never do this again. We are not Brahmanas. It's not worth to fight for Brahminika, for recognition. We are not learned. We are not. We are just insignificant souls, part and parcel of Krishna. So there is a verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and I would like to make a meditation out of this verse in a moment and then lead you into something. Idam shariram shatasandijajaram patadyavashyam padinam apeshalam kim oshadam prichyasi muradurmate niramayam krishna rasayanam piba. This body, I need a little bit more coughing at this stage now. Please, if the more coughing is available. This body is attacked by miseries at every turn. And you prove it. You have the coughing symphony. Wait until I relax you for meditation. This whole thing will turn into a cacophony of coughing. This body is attacked by miseries at every turn. Though it may look beautiful now, it will inevitably die. You will all die. As Ravindra Swarupabhu always marks out to us, he says in a tree, in a forest, the foresters, the woodcutters, have marked the trees which are there for cutting with an X. So you all have an X on your head. You are marked for destruction. Marked for the cutting. This body is attacked by miseries at every turn, you know. Though it may look beautiful now, it will inevitably die and then be transformed back into its five component elements. What is the cure for this, you asked? You silly, wicked fool! Drink the powerful elixir of Krishna. It alone will cure you of this disease. I recognize this is called cutting languages, language of King Kula Shikar. He was a big king and then renounced his kingdom, and he built a beautiful temple of Sri Ranganath. Some of you must have visited. Now, if you enter that palace, you will that temple, you will see a sign of Kulashekhar's humbleness on the threshold, which you have to cross in order to go into the through the first Gopuram. You will find engraved a body in the stone. It's like big like this, of a man and a woman. They lie down in prostrated obeisances. One is King Kulashekhar, the other is his wife, who are there for eternity, or for as long as the temple stands, to catch the dust from the foot of all the pilgrims who will pass over them in order to see the Lord. This is humility, huh? The king. So this king, he wrote, "My body will be attacked. It will die. It will turn back into the material elements." Is there a cure at all? Of course there is. Drink the powerful elixir of Krishna's name. This alone will cure you of this disease. So I request you now to go into a little exercise with me. We will call it the humility exercise. I will work with a few signs. This sign means go, and this sign means stop. It will be easy when you are in the exercise. It's the same, Maharaji. How will I know if I should stop or go? Okay, then we need... This means... Yeah, great. Two means stop. One means go. You are very observative. This is a place of a tantric yogi, so we will do a little yoga. Don't worry, nothing where we levitate. I request you to sit tall. Look around a little bit in the room. I will soon ask you to close the eyes, and it's sometimes safer. You feel safer if you just know the environment in which you sit. Start in exhaling very deeply. I'm not asking you yet to close the eyes. To get a little energy in your tired bodies after breakfast, please bring your arms up. You can cross the fingers or don't cross. And on every exhale, just energetically push your air out. Yes? Continue. As you do this, deepen your inhale. It will wake up your system. Now imagine there's a friend who has both of your hands and who pulls them back a little bit. We need a little tension in our back so that our nadis are opened and some energy flows. Don't forget to breathe. If you sweat, that's desired. It's no problem. Okay, on an exhale, float your arms down on your knees. Now very peacefully close your eyes and continue your in and exhale. Your goal is to become relaxed but incredibly aware. On an exhale, relax your legs. Move your attention up to the trunk of your body, where the organs are, like the stomach, lungs. And on an exhale, by remaining in an upright position, relax. Move your attention now up to the shoulders, where a lot of the tension lies. On an exhale, relax. You can almost feel the shoulders and the arms are coming down. Go to your face now. There are 3,200 facial muscles which you move throughout the day in your communication with others and your reactions to events. Relax all these muscles on an exhale. Now bring your attention to the heart space. Imagine there, in the area of the heart, something like a sun, a ball of fire, if you wish. Whenever you inhale, it expands slightly. Exhale, it slightly contracts. Into this heart space, you should now imagine that you're breathing a golden breath. Think about the verse which you will hear now. It's the verse from the lips of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. Give up your false ego that you are the body and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant than grass. Practice the virtue of tolerance, emulating the trees. Give up revenge and look after other creatures. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfish concerns by serving others. Even if you possess all good qualities, do not try to profit from it by looking for prestige keep your heart simple. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart. And so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. Cultivate the four qualities of humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference to worldly honors. And chant the holy name. When, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant the holy name? In one voice, when we hear the signal, let us chant. Let us try to chant from that place. We are an eternal soul, somewhere in the area of the heart. We are not the body. No need to live our lives out on false ego. No need, no need at all. It's irrelevant for our real life. Let us chant. I will one time chant alone and then give you the signal, and then we chant together in one voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Two times more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. Please stay like this for one last concluding verse. My dear devotees, I think we know what is our problem. We are not so eager to chant. A lack of taste is blocking us, so that our natural eagerness for Krishna consciousness is sometimes still a little covered. But if you follow this instruction, where you just for a moment switch off your bodily identification. You know, when you sit down, don't sit down as the body. Don't sit down as the mind. You know, Bhujan Prabhu has released us of the mind yesterday. At least picturously, he has released us. Sit down from the position, I'm your part, I belong to you, I left you, I became your forgetful servant, please, please, I'm suffering, I'm not at all good here, please accept me. then you will have eagerness. And when you have eagerness, wah, hogya, everything is done. Everything is all right. Srila Prabhupada would often sit down in his room, and when we came in to bring him water or whatever, he would sometimes sit before his harmonium and sing this song, "Dear Krishna, may the swan of my mind enter the network of the stems of your lotus feet on this very day." When it is time for my life as to leave my body, my throat will be choked up by the disruption of the mucus of the body, the wind and the bile. How will it be possible for me to think of you at that time? Let this happen now. Let the swan of my mind come to your lotus feet on this very day. Trinadapi, this verse, has a lesson in practice for us. And the lesson in practice is, if you want to practice this, get off the mental and the bodily platform. No mental and physically attached person can follow this. Understand you are eternal soul, and from there you turn to Krishna and turn to your neighbors, and I mean your fellow people, fellow devotees, and deal with them from the spiritual, not the mental platform. Hare Krishna. You can now, I'm sorry, I see you, some of you are meditating quite long, so let's get you out of this now. Please do a deep inhale and exhale. Rub your hands together. Bring them to your eyes. And away from the eyes and look at them as if you see them for the very first time. Now you can look around. But before you go into your regular chanting, or, you know, I really want to recommend you this Trinadapi, which is so often quoted. I mean, it's scandalously often quoted and not followed. This will become a living verse for you, with a living presence, the moment you enter into a non-physical understanding that you are not the body and the mind, and you will see miracles unfolding when you chant with this attitude and approach your practice with this attitude, a spiritual attitude, which comes from a deep understanding that you are Krishna's servant. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
I thought of the verse we just discussed on the 64-round day of the first japa retreat that I ever attended, other than one small one that was for Prabhupada disciples. And as I approached round number 54 or so, I was really feeling how insignificant I am as a soul. that the soul is 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. If you take the tip of a hair and divide it into 100 parts, and then you take one of those and divide that into 100 parts, that's the dimension of the soul. And I thought a blade of grass is so much bigger than me, the soul. A blade of grass is probably equal to hundreds of me, thousands of me. And I actually felt relieved to know how insignificant I was. Because it was actually a burden to imagine myself to be anything more than that, or to pretend to be anything more than that. When we assume a false identity, we naturally feel some anxiety internally because we are not who we are, and externally because we are always afraid that someone will discover that we are not who we are pretending to be. But while chanting those last 8, 10, 12 rounds, I felt relieved. I am just an insignificant living entity. I am no greater than anyone else. And somehow in that state, I actually felt that my natural function is just to chant the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Soul, and just chant and chant and chant. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti offers many beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna. And in one of them, she describes different assets, material assets that a person may have. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribi. And these are false identifications that we're already prone to feel proud, and when we have a high birth or wealth or good looks or high education, we tend to feel proud. And Queen Kunti says that one who is on the path of material progress, wanting to enjoy the benefits of high birth, material opulence, good education, and physical beauty, cannot feelingly approach the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many statements in the scriptures about the benefit of chanting the holy name even once. That One who chants the holy name even once can destroy the effects of more sinful reactions than he is able to commit. And Srila Prabhupada says there's not the least exaggeration in such statements. But it depends on the quality of the utterance of the name. And one can feelingly chant only when he gives up this vain endeavor to enjoy the benefits of bodily identification and bodily accessories. In other words, one can feelingly chant the holy name, one can feelingly approach the Lord when he understands that he's not the body. He's just that insignificant, minute, infinitesimal, spiritual spark. And that realization comes by offenseless chanting. Of course, the knowledge can help us in our endeavor to chant with attention. But actually, by offenseless chanting, we naturally realize that we are just that infinitesimal spiritual soul. And that Krishna is the supreme soul. He is infinite, and we are infinitesimal, infinitesimal. And so what is our natural function? Our natural function is to chant the glories of the supreme soul and to offer respects to all others. Because we are so insignificant. And seeing them in relation to Krishna, we think, oh, these are very special souls. These are very dear to Krishna. And so we offer them respect. So the value of the endeavor to chant without offense, and as we discussed, the first effort should be to chant with attention, to be inattentive itself is an offense. So whenever our mind wanders and we make the effort to bring it back to the sound of the holy name, we're making the effort to remove an offense. And Srila Prabhupada said that the continual effort to remove offenses is what constitutes the offenseless stage of chanting. And it is in the offenseless stage of chanting that these virtues of humility, tolerance, compassion, freedom from false prestige, and the desire to offer respects to others becomes manifest. So I'm grateful to His Holiness Satchinandan Swami for giving us this beautiful explanation and and leading us through that meditation. And to Burijan Prabhu for, well, anyway, organizing the program and with, and to all of you, beautiful, insignificant souls. Hare Krishna.
Janajana Salakaya Chaksusunda Tanjaina Tasmai Sugurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Yadati Sapanatika. Vansa Kapa Tribhyascha Chipa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. I found that it was a very stark and very clear cut point that humility comes from being fixed in the concept that we are eternal souls, that we're not our body, that Maharaj was making. Very, very heavy, because if we're thinking we're our body, that means we're fixed in a false conception of ourself as not Krishna's servant, but as the enjoyer. False ego means illusion. False ego means in opposition to Krishna. And false ego means pride. It means Krishna bhule se jeev anadya bahimukh. Turning our back on Krishna. So it was very, by definition, that point was very, very strong. Very strong that if we are considering ourselves our body or our mind, there is no question of our being humble, even if we perfect the art of externally looking humble. But inside, as soon as someone steps on our toe, the monster arises, the false ego comes out and is ready to devour that person who has the nerve to, don't you know who I am? You have stepped on my toe, even though I was like this one moment ago. The monster, the false ego, arises and is ready to destroy everyone. So, very, very heavy point, I thought. And then there's one little story that I once heard about humility, its opposite, and it will come out what the opposite of humility is, which is so much the quality of the false ego. Once this sadhu was nearing the time of his departure, and he was speaking to some of his followers, and he said that when I am brought to Yamaraj, of course he didn't say it like this, but he will type my name in his database and then press the enter key, and then my record will come up. And he said, you've done this, this, and this, and this, haven't you? And he said, yes, but I will tell him that there was a reason why I did it. How else could I couldn't have acted in any other way. He stepped on my toe and it really hurt, and of course I had to yell at him and scream at him. Of course I had to. In this way, he will go through all the list of all the improper things that I've done in my life. And for each and every one of them, I will have my excuse and my justification why it was the only way I could have acted. The sadhu was explaining this. And then he said, but when he says to me, why were you so proud? For that, I will have no answer. Because, as His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was explaining, so much of our effort and so much of our anxiety is trying to convince others of the illusion that I am anything more than insignificant, an insignificant soul, completely insignificant, 1/10,000th. I mean, think of what, if you took a head of hair and actually divided it into 100 parts, I mean, there would be nothing left, and then taking one of those 100 parts and the very tip of that, dividing it again into 100 parts, there's nothing there, practically speaking, and yet here I am thinking of myself as the center of existence and trying to convince others that I'm so important, when in fact I'm so insignificant. And in 100 years from now, or 50 years from now, no one will even know that I ever existed, practically speaking. So why was I so proud? And I know better than anyone else hundreds of reasons why I should be humble. I'm aware of all the faults, more than anyone else, of all the mistakes, all the hypocrisy. And yet, I am proud. So this inexplicable fact, it is a non-logical point that I'm proud, even though I know that I should be humble and I'm insignificant, but yet I am proud. This is called Maya. And when we're in Maya, thinking ourselves as proud, we cannot advance in our Krishna consciousness. We cannot take shelter of the holy names, Kirtaniya Sadahari. There is one segment of a lecture by Srila Prabhupada in 1976 in Mayapur that speaks on this point. Are we going to be able to...
This is Prahlad Maharaj's instruction. So don't be falsely proud unless you have got the qualifications. That is our mistake. Dhamma has a pure life within. When we give up dhamma, false prestige, adambitam, amanitam, ahimsa, kanti, arjavam, this is the beginning. One who is falsely proud, one should not be falsely proud. Everyone, material world means, everyone is falsely proud. Everyone is thinking, Atosmi, Dhanavanosmi, Kosti, Mamosama. Everyone, this is a disease. I am the richest, I am the powerful, I am the very intelligent, everything I am. It is called ahankar. Ahankara vimuratma katta, hammiti mannate. This false prestige. When one is absorbed in falsehood, he becomes vimura, restless. Ahankara vimuratma katta hammiti mannate. This is falsehood. We have to give up this false prestige. Ahankara must be there because you are a reality. You are not false. Your body is false, but you are reality. And so, that realization must come. Aham Brahmasmi, not that Ahankara Vimuratma, I am dog, I am America, I am India, I am thee. This is Ahankara. This is false Ahankara. But giving up all these nonsense, prestigious positions. A dog is also thinking he is in a prestigious position. I am dog. I can bark very loudly. He is also thinking that. Similarly, I also think I am Indian, I am white, I am black, and this. What is the difference? Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, ahankara vimurātmā kattāham miti mandara. He is completely under the control of material nature and he is thinking falsely that I am very advanced in Swamsa. This should be given up. So how it is given up? When one becomes devotee, so Prahlad Maharaj is thinking himself that I am less than suppose. Just like Chaitanya Charitamrita author says, Purisher ki haite mai se lobhisht, jagai madhai haite mai se papisht. He says that I am insignificant, more insignificant than these two worms, the one that had once and these two. So I am lower than that. Purisher ki haite mai se lobhisht. My value is less than the one in these two. This is Kantinada Vishnu Chela. It is not that Kaviraj Goswami is artificially posing in that way. No. He sincerely, no Vaishnava thinks himself, I am very big man. No. He is not Vaishnava. Vaishnava means Tinada Vishnu Chela. Tarorapi sahishnana, this is Vaishnava. Even he is exalted more than anyone in this world, still he thinks himself as lowest, as lower than the one in these two. Prahlad Maharaj Vaishnava, he is engaged to offer prayer to the Lord Nrisimhadeva. So he is thinking that what form of prayer I can offer? I am born in a demonic family, low-grade family, and Brahma, he is coming from Brahma-loka, Satya-loka, Jana-loka, they are so exalted. They could not satisfy the anger of the Lord, and I am born in low family. How can I do this? This is his idea.
So that was the segment where Prabhupada is really saying just what we've been hearing. Very striking. Even a dog is proud. Otherwise, how would he bark when you walk past, thinking in the mood of, how dare you come into my territory? Even a dog is proud. And what is the difference between me identifying with the body and thinking of this is mine and this is me and this is mine and how dare you step on my toe and get in the way of my plans? What is the difference between me and a dog? So very strong point. And the fact that this is how I act hundreds and hundreds of times during the day, continuously during the day, this is enough reason to understand what Prabhupada said, that a Vaishnava thinks himself so low and I think myself so wonderful. So this itself, this hypocrisy, is a cause of humility. If we become a little introspective and understand our own thought patterns, there is no way we can be proud. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Once there was a professional gambler. He went to his early one morning to his gambling club where they would bet and invest money and gain money. But on the way, he passed one saint called Ignat. And Ignat looked so peaceful that this man thought, let me sit for 1 hour with Ignat, and I will also be a little bit more peaceful. So naturally, he came 1 hour too late. And his friends asked him, where were you? We waited. I sat with Ignat, the peaceful saint. He's so humble. He's so tolerant. And therefore, I wanted to have some peace of mind. Oh, said one gambler, there is no saint who is humble. All the saints are sinners. And tomorrow I will show you. It's a very nice story. The next morning, this gambler who had decided to make Ignat angry sat on one of these flat roofs. And when Ignat passed him after he had taken his bath in the river, this gambler who had been chewing on pan spit a full mouthload full of red pan on Ignat's clean white cloth. Now, those of you who have been in India, especially Delhi, they know the whole streets are full with these red pan stains where people have spit this pan. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a very red in the red fort also, I've seen. It's not so red from the stone. I have seen with my own eyes. It really doesn't go out very easily. So Ignat got this whole mouthful on his white chadar. He looked from where it came and saw the man on the roof going. But Ignat just looked back on his chadar, looked on the man, and went back to the river to take his bath for the second time. After he was finished, he came out, and since the jungle was in such a way that he could only pass through this way, he took the same way, and there this man still sat and gave him the second mouthful. Went all over the right face, and Dodi Ignat acknowledged the stains, looked at the man to understand from where it was coming, returned and took his bath for the second time. My dear devotees, 32 times this repeated itself until finally the man ran out of spit. You know, he just had a mouth like a desert. Totally frustrated that he could not make Ignat, angry and take him out of his humble state of mind, he ran down the house and said, why are you so unmovable? Why are you so steady? Why are you not becoming angry at me? I have spat on you with this beetle, the red beetle, for so many times. So Ignat said, well, I have seen that you were very determined to make me angry. Should I not be very determined to stay humble? You have done what you do. You are a gambler. You make people angry by taking their money and so on. I am trying to be a devotee. I have to do what I do. And then he said, with a twinkle in his eye, twinkle means like a humorous glance, and I have taken extra baths today. But then he said, the main thing is, if I give up my humility and become angry, then I'm harming myself. I'm not benefiting myself by this. So, my dear devotees, although I think we don't have to try to follow Ignat, I mean, that would be difficult, very difficult, at least for a person from Germany. I learned street fighting skills, and I would certainly remember some of them. At least we can learn from this and other such stories. When we are not humble, we harm ourselves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the way how to chant. This is how to get love of Godhead, Prabhus. Please take good note. I very much like the contributions of both Giriraj Maharaj and Burijam Prabhu. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, who were all really bringing this point to us. Be real. Humility means nothing less than the vision of reality. Be real. Be humble. You know, don't be unreal. Be real. And from that real position, your chanting will also become real. This is a good verse. It's an entry verse into chanting all the time. Certainly, there are many more things to be said on this verse, but this retreat we have decided to chant more and speak less. So we will not go deeper into this, but I would like to recommend you, you know, when we do these active learning things where we do meditations, you don't have to do exactly the same. That is, you know, it's just some ordinary nose blowing technique, you know, to free ourselves from the stress, you know. It's nothing more, these relaxation techniques, than a nose-blowing technique. It's not in itself extremely exalted. But what we can learn from it and what we can do in our own ways is we can become mindful for a moment that we are addressing Krishna from the position of an eternal soul who begs for acceptance. We can remember there is a broken relationship which needs to be mended, and that is a relationship between the soul and the Supreme Lord. And when we sit down, forgetting our ordinary problems, issues, concerns, even physical discomfort, but really chant from there, some spiritual feeling can arise in the heart and bring what is so important to our practice. These genuine spiritual feelings can bring eagerness to our practice. This is what comes when you practice from the soul platform. You become eager for the reconnection. Thank you very much.